Good evening to all of you. Greetings in Christ's name. It's good to be here to worship the Lord with you. I did not know that Jay was going to be highlighting anything. It's not because of who we are, but it's because of what God has done in our life. If we want to go down memory lane, we might take, 3 hours. I'll try to keep it less than that. But it's been 15 to 20 years probably, I don't know, I didn't look it up, that Jay actually worked for us. And my wife and I just kind of adopted him as our son. Not legally, but we did not have children for quite a while after we were married, and Jay just became our son. I thought of the words in Timothy, where Paul wrote about Timothy. He called him his own beloved son, and that's kind of where we had Jay. We just took him under our wings, and he just was our son for a while. And now, today, he's married. He has a family. He's here at your church, and I'm just blessed that it was a blessing to my wife and I to see how that God took his life and just shaped him and molded him into his will. Just one little story. I remember one day after he quit working for us, we were out in the barn. I think my wife was with me doing something, and we heard this little motorbike or moped coming up the road, and it was about a size or two too small for Jay, but he was riding it. So he pulls in and he wants to know how things are going. And right away we look at his pants, and he had duct tape from here down wrapped all the way around. And I'm like, Jay, what's up? And he said, well, I was out to so-and-so and we were working on deer, and the one kicked and caught his pant leg and just ripped it up. And so knowing Jay, he did the best he could. He had a roll of duct tape and he fixed his pants. We just about didn't get over that one. But anyways, tonight we are here to worship our God with you. It's a pleasure to be here. My wife Carol and 5 children. We have 2 girls, 2 daughters, and 3 sons, and we're blessed to be here to worship with you. I invite you to come visit us at Messiah sometime. I know that some of you drive right past our church house, so if it works out someday, stop in. All right, for a message, have you ever faced hard times in your life? I think we could probably all raise our hand to that one. Maybe it's something in your, maybe it was or is, something in your business, your workplace, your home, your family. Maybe it's in your own personal walk with the Lord, and you face something that you just desperately want an answer to, and you try to figure things out, but nothing is shown to you. You have no answers, no way forward. No light comes on, and you're reaching for answers. Suddenly, God, through His Spirit or through His Word or maybe through somebody else, sheds some light on the issue, and click, you have an answer to what was troubling you. Tonight, I'd like to look at a distraught king that was looking for answers, and he was desperate. He tried everything to find answers. Turn your Bibles to the book of Daniel, chapter 5. Daniel is a little hard to find for me because it's not a book I turn to every day. It's in the Old Testament. It's behind Ezekiel, I think. Yes, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and then Daniel, chapter 5. Here is a distraught king in the middle of wickedness, and something happens, and he is desperate to find an answer. He tries everything to find an answer, and finally, he got one, but it was not what he wanted to hear. Daniel chapter 5, we'll read the entire chapter starting in verse 1. If you are able and care to, you can stand as we read in reverence to the Word of God. Daniel 5, verse 1, Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before 1,000. Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines drank in them. Verse 4, they drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, "Whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck, and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." Then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house, and the queen spake and said, "O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom like the wisdom of the gods was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar thy father, the king, I say, thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation." Then was Daniel brought in before the king, and the king spake and said unto Daniel, "Art thou that Daniel, which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king, my father, brought out of Jewry? I have even heard of thee, that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me, that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof, but they could not show the interpretation of the thing. And I have heard of thee, that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet, and have a chain of gold about thy neck, and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." Then Daniel answered and said before the king, "Let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king, and make known to him the interpretation. O thou king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would, he slew. And whom he would, he kept alive. And whom he would, he set up. And whom he would, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild asses, and they fed him with grass like oxen. And his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives, and thy concubines have drunk wine in them, And thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, and of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, thou hast not glorified. Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. And this is the writing that was written. Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Peres, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. And Darius, the Median, took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Thank you. You may be seated. The title to the message tonight is An Excellent Spirit, coming from verse 12. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams, showing of hard sentences, and dissolving of doubts. This was found in Daniel. An excellent spirit. Where does an excellent spirit come from? It comes from a close walk with God, from a heart that is broken and in tune with the will of God, from a heart that is intentional about choices we make each day, about how we live our life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Here in this chapter, a very presumptuous king threw a wild party. This king is believed to be a grandson of King Nebuchadnezzar, who was also very proud and arrogant. Now, this was no small event. There were 1,000 of his lords present. The king, his princes, his wives, his concubines were all there. They were all gathered together to have a good time, to live it up. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. We're going to do what we want to do. And these parties were known to be very sensual, feeding the carnal appetites of the human being, especially immorality and lust. And Belshazzar, the king, while he was intoxicated, commanded that someone bring the gold vessels that his grandpa had stolen out of the temple back in Jerusalem. And we want to drink out of these vessels. So in verse 4 it says, they drank wine and they worshiped the gods of gold and silver. They were living it up. He, like many today, was not willing to learn from history. He should have remembered what his grandpa went through because of the things he did in his life and kingdom. He was proud, Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men. He became like a wild animal. He ate grass like a cow. But Belshazzar did not learn from that. His pride brought on more sins, drunkenness, immorality, sacrilege. He abused something that was holy, idolatry, denying the true God and praising the false gods of Babylon. I was blessed tonight already by hearing about Babylon a little bit in the reading that you read. In the middle of this noisy and ungodly festivity, all of a sudden, someone saw a man's hand writing something on the wall, and they had no idea what the words were, much less the meaning of them. And the king's countenance changed. He was troubled. I believe his conscience was smitten. He knew he was guilty before God. He had committed sin, all kinds of sins. And here are these words, and nobody knows what they are. He can't read them, but he's desperate to know what they are. He knew he was guilty and probably the reason that these words were up there on the wall. And he desperately wanted to know what these words were all about. He cried with a loud voice, "Bring in the astrologers. Bring in the soothsayers." Maybe he thought this hand was from another planet, the moon or the stars of some sort, that he wanted an astrologer to be present. Or maybe he thought a soothsayer, or we would call it a fortune teller, would be able to tell him what these words were and what they meant. Nonetheless, he covered all the bases. He wanted all the wise men of Babylon to come in and try to figure out what this said on the wall. Well, these men show up, and he sugarcoats them. He said, "Listen up, men. If any of you can read the writing on the wall, tell me what it means. I'll clothe you in purple. I'll put a gold chain around your neck. And you will be the third most important person in my kingdom." Can you imagine? These men were all excited, I'm assuming. "We can't wait to get in there and tell you what this means." They were fairly self-confident, I believe, that they could tell him what these words mean. Verse 8 says, "Then came in all the king's wise men." You can almost picture these men coming in, eagerly entering this banquet room of 1,000+ people. And in their minds, they know that if they have an answer, probably right there, they'll be lifted up, honored, being the third most important person in the kingdom of Babylon. They walk in, they look at the words, and you can almost see the expression on their face changing. Maybe some of them looked at the words and then back at the floor, back at the words and back at the floor. Some of them might have been scratching their head and rolling their eyes. Others might have been looking at their partners and whispering, "Hope you know what it is, because I sure don't." In the end, they all had to admit they have no idea what these words are, what they mean. They had to admit defeat. You ever been there? I remember when I prepared this message to preach at home several weeks ago. It was a busy week. I had pushed off study till Friday night. Friday night, the skid loader went bad. It's the one we use to load feed. We got to have it. We changed the hydraulic hose that was leaking, and we could not get it to work. Everything the boys and I tried didn't work. We could not get the cylinders to work that locks the bucket. Finally, late at night, I told the boys, "We're defeated. We got to wait till Monday morning." You know, it's hard for us to admit that we can't figure it out, that we're defeated. And I'm assuming the king here was in the same, he was the most important person in the kingdom of Babylon. And here this man's hand, not even a man himself, shows up, puts some words on the wall, and he can't figure out what it says. He had to admit defeat. He calls in all his wise men, and they had to admit defeat. Now the king is really troubled. No one in his kingdom can tell him what these words mean. And it says his countenance changed. He might have been white as a sheet. I don't know. His lords were bewildered. I'm wondering if they weren't even a bit afraid of him, of what he might do next. About that moment, the queen, which is assumed to be his grandma, walks in. And she says, "O king, live forever." Live forever. That night he lost his life. "O king, live forever. Don't be troubled. There's a man in your kingdom who has an excellent spirit. He has knowledge, understanding. He can interpret dreams. He can dissolve doubts." Now, wouldn't that be amazing? If we could call somebody and say, I kind of have this struggle with doubt. Could you show up and just dissolve it for me? He could dissolve doubts. She went on to say, call him in. He will tell you what these words mean. She was confident. Daniel was brought in quickly, and the king offered him all the glitz and the glory that he had offered to all his wise men. And Daniel, he could have cared less about a gold chain or a purple robe or being the third most important person in the kingdom, but he was quick to tell him what the problem was. In verse 23, thou hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven. And he was speaking to the king. He gets right to the heart. You have a problem. You're against the Lord of heaven. You have brought in these vessels that were supposedly holy in the temple at Jerusalem, and you in mockery drank wine out of them. I mean, Daniel just gets right to the problem. He hadn't told him what these words mean yet. But he tells him what's going on in his heart. Here's the meaning of the words. Verse 26, he says, God has numbered thy kingdom and finished it. You're done. Thou art weighed in the balance and art found wanting. Thy kingdom is divided and given out to others. Not the greatest news for a king. Not the greatest news for a proud king. That very night, he lost his life. According to history, while they were having this wild party, the enemy had already surrounded Babylon. They were already clear around the city. And that night, the very night that this took place, they somehow diverted the river that flowed through the city, had the water go another direction, and they entered in through the dry creek bed underneath the wall. And overthrew Babylon, and Belshazzar lost his life. A vivid picture of God's judgment on the ungodly. Unless we repent and honor the God of heaven with our life, we are no better than King Belshazzar. God's judgment will one day fall upon us unless we repent. Let's look a bit at the queen's observation of Daniel. In verse 12, it says, she is saying, for as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams, showing of hard sentences, and dissolving of doubts. Wow. It appears that Daniel was only a teenager when he was captured in Jerusalem and carried away into Babylon with his three friends and a host of other people. You know, at that age, I don't see a lot of teenagers here. But at that age, he could have reasoned, I'm in a strange land. There's strange people, strange language, strange customs. God will surely understand my dilemma. I'm just not going to cause any ripples here or muddy the water. I'll just go with the flow and nobody really will find out. But if we read through the book of Daniel, that is far from what he did. It's obvious that he and his friends made a choice for righteous and holy living that wasn't easy or popular. They were definitely the minority. They chose to follow God at all cost. He endured the lion's den. His friends escaped the fire in the fiery furnace. Not an easy life. You talk about facing hard things in life, they knew all about it. They had chosen, they made the choice at a young age to follow God at all costs. And because of that, God honored them and recorded their life, their obedience, their example for us today yet. You know, if they would have given in and said, I'm just going to join these Babylonian people. I'm going to be at the party myself. Nobody will really know who we are. You think these stories would be recorded for us? We would have no Daniel in the lion's den. We would have no three Hebrew boys walking through the fire with no smell of smoke on them. See, they chose to be faithful no matter what the cost. And God honored them for that. And today we still have their stories for examples and encouragement. God gave them discernment, determination, and courage, perseverance, the ability to resist evil in the hour of temptation. Daniel lived up to his conscience. He maintained righteousness. He formed some very powerful and godly convictions early in his life and lived them out even in Babylon. What is an excellent spirit? Maybe you have an idea. What is an excellent spirit? I know I'm catching you off guard. I think there was something about this Daniel, about his demeanor, that earned him the respect of the people of Babylon, even the, we would call them government people. I believe he was a humble person. He was gentle. He was full of wisdom, yet not proud about it. The Bible says in James 3, the wisdom that is from above is pure. It is peaceable. It is gentle and easy to be entreated. I think this Daniel was a man that he was just a likable person. People liked to be around Daniel, even the king. I think Daniel intentionally applied his commitment to God to his life. In other words, he did what God wanted him to do. He was committed to the will of God, even in a strange land. And that's not something that comes naturally. We don't like to stand out. We don't like to be committed to anything. Conviction, what is it? We just want to go with the flow. But he dared to stand in the middle of a wicked nation. His commitment to God was real. I think he thought what it meant. He thought about what it meant to obey God. And he made choices in his life that brought him closer to God. You know, he could have easily gone with the flow. I'm a captive in a foreign land. The restrictions that God placed on the Jews back in Israel or back in Canaan, those don't apply to me today. I'm in Babylon. And sadly, many people would have agreed with him. Maybe even people today yet would have agreed with him that, just lay low. Go with the crowd. Instead, he demonstrated to us an inner spiritual power that was given only from God to be able to stand in this wicked Babylon. You know, today yet, living faithfully requires some intentional thinking and choices on our part concerning the principles and commands of the Word of God. Today we are living in so-called Babylon. In a world where wickedness abounds, it's all around us. And Babylon continually is bombarding us with choices too. The devil is busy drawing us towards the lifestyle of Babylon. The things in Babylon seem so conveniently innocent. Just try it. Babylon wants us to snuggle up to her lifestyle. Babylon tries to convince us that that's our only option, is to be involved in the system of this world. You know, personal convenience is considered above all else. If it feels good, then why not do it? You know, we like Daniel have to be intentional about our thinking, about our choices, about our lives today, like he was back then. When he was confronted with a choice, he always made the right choice. You don't read in the book of Daniel of him ever making a wrong decision. And we might say, well, sure, he was the writer of the book. He could write whatever he wanted to, right? He just omitted his mistakes, and maybe he did. But when he was confronted with a decision, as far as we know, it was always in God's direction, in God's will. You know, if every choice we face today only had two options, the best and the worst, we wouldn't have much problem making a decision. We'd always choose the best, right? Why would we choose the worst one? If we only had two choices, good or bad, we'd make a choice for the good. But today there's many choices in life. There's hundreds of choices. There's more than one option. And with that comes the snare of gradualism. Gradually we find ourselves in a certain place. You know, we make a quarter turn on the nut on the bolt, and now we're over here. All right, we're not out there, but we're certainly not where we were yesterday. And we give it another quarter turn, and we keep going, and pretty soon we are out there, way far away from where we'd like to be or where we were. It's called gradualism. Gradually we get out there. Satan is a pro at that. Just try this yet. You'll like it. And you try that, and he goes on and on and on. And before you know it, you are somewhere where you never thought you would be. People even come to the point of questioning the Bible, the doctrines in the Bible, divorce, remarriage, you name it. It's no longer an issue because we made a choice, just a little choice here, and we kept moving until we eventually are ignoring the very principles in God's Word. Just by small degrees, that's how we get there, my friends. We're not where we were yesterday. And let me tell you, you find yourself in a place that you never thought you would be. You never intended to go there. You know what? The way back to God is going to be long and hard and difficult. Because of those little wrong choices that you made in your life. I know that for a fact. Don't be among those people that enjoy the soft breeze. You know, there's a breeze coming in through the window. Don't enjoy the breezes of Babylon. It might be easy believism. You can do what you want and still go to heaven. Self-indulgence, self-gratification, and the list goes on. Be intentional about the choices you make in your life. Close your windows towards Babylon and open your window like Daniel did towards Jerusalem and turn your heart towards the God of heaven in prayer and repentance and brokenness. Let him be your God. Let him be your source of wisdom and understanding. In Revelation, John the Apostle writes about this Babylon in verse 4. He heard a voice from heaven saying, "Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins." And he's talking about Babylon. So what does that mean? Come out of her, my people, and be on neutral ground. No, it says that ye be not partakers. I take it there is no neutral ground. Either we are coming out, we are walking in holiness, or we are partakers of the sins of Babylon. We have to be intentional about our choices. Don't bow to the heathen culture around you or live in compromise. You know, what we deem valuable is displayed in the choices we make. What we love is what we follow. What we love is what we protect. It's what we defend. Where is your heart? Is your heart in Babylon? Is your heart in the kingdom of God? I trust tonight that I'm talking to a group of people who has figured that out. He possessed an excellent spirit that came about by his close walk with God, his commitment to making right choices, his obedient lifestyle that at times took him to some very hard places. Because of that, God gave him the wisdom to solve problems, to explain hard things, to even reveal to the king the writing on the wall. We have all faced hard things, difficult situations that we did not understand. We were not sure how to work through them. We couldn't read the writing on the wall. Maybe, fathers, you have something in your home or in your business, your family that you're facing, and you just would like an answer. You just struggle through this thing and you would like an answer, but just not sure what to do next. Mothers, maybe you're frazzled with 101 things to do. And you keep running from one job to the other and do a lot of things, and it seems like nothing is really appreciated that you do. Maybe there's single people here tonight, I don't know, that are struggling to figure out, what is my purpose in life? Where am I to be in God's will? Maybe you have young people here, not very many, but you have children here who struggle to obey their parents. You know, we all face difficult things, hard things, no matter who we are, how old we are. Don't we at those times just kind of wish that the queen would walk in like she did for the king? Or grandma could walk in and just say, "Brother Jay, there's a man here that has an excellent spirit, and if you would call him in, he could just kind of help you dissolve your doubts or interpret your dream or help you through that hard thing." Wouldn't that be nice? Just call him up and, "Hey, could you come over and just help me through this thing, this hard thing that I face," whether it's in our family or You name it. You know what's happening today? People are turning to their devices for answers to life's problems. And I don't think I have to tell you that the answers from those devices are tainted. They are twisted. They will take you towards Babylon. They will take you places you don't want to go. I trust tonight that you, as a church here at LifeSpring, have people that have an excellent spirit. You have brothers and sisters here that have an excellent spirit, a spirit of wisdom, a spirit of understanding, a spirit that can interpret hard things. Maybe not in your own life, but maybe you can shed some light on your brother's struggle and help him through that. Don't turn to the world for answers, my friends. I was told that if you turn to your device for advice on marriage problems, that every answer coming back is going to recommend you to divorce, to leave your partner. My friends, there's solutions to marriage problems outside of divorce. That is not in God's plan. God has a plan for a marriage right here. And I trust you have brothers and sisters that will be able to help you through those problems in your life. In conclusion, nothing that really matters has changed since Daniel's time. God is still God, the same God. Can you imagine with me the same God that Daniel served in Babylon is still our God today? He still takes care of his people. He still wants people who are committed to doing his will, even in the midst, even surrounded by Babylon, if you will. He still makes a way through the Red Sea for his people in 2026. Guess what? He also gives us wisdom when we ask for it. The Bible says if we lack wisdom, we ask God and he gives us wisdom. We find answers to our problems by seeking God with all our heart, by being intentional about the choices that we make, just like Daniel. Stay close to God and his word. It's there that we find answers. You know, by this time in Daniel's life in Babylon, he was possibly in his 80s. He had lived in Babylon a long time. He was still faithful to his God. He was still full of wisdom. He had an excellent spirit. How did he get there? How did he get there? He was faithful one day at a time. Always persevered in following his God. He made wise choices in his life. The Bible says, he that endures to the end shall be saved. Just some words that came to mind when I thought about an excellent spirit. Servant, humble, obedient, trustworthy, faithful, gentle, wise, compassionate, willing to help others, courage, perseverance. Tonight I encourage you to dare to be a Daniel. Let's stand for a prayer. Holy Father, we come to you tonight in the name of Jesus. We thank you for this time together with people we hardly know. Yet we know that in our hearts we serve the same God that Daniel served many years ago. Thank you for your word to us, the stories of men of old who dared to stand even in Babylon. And today yet we have much evil, wickedness right at our doorsteps. Oh God, I pray for this congregation that each one here could be faithful and being intentional about the choices they make in life. May we all find that path of holiness that leads to glory. We pray you would keep us in the center of your will. Help us to be that light and a salt to the earth. Many people are dying without a Savior. We pray, O God, that our life would speak loudly to the lost around us. Bless this congregation in a special way. Pray for the leadership here. You would guide them with your wisdom and power, and may they be a beacon of hope in this community. We bless you for bringing about so great a salvation, redeeming our soul through the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit that gives us victory through Jesus Christ. We give you glory, we give you honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for your attentiveness. We'll turn the time back to Brother Pete.